Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Philip.
Good evening. This is Bill Kennedy. And as we know, Philip, we refer to Philip as Screwdriver because the show is called The Phil and Bill Show. And sometimes people are mad at me because of what Phil says. So if we refer to him as Screwdriver and me as Bill, we get along much better. You know, he never got a nickname. It's kind of a sad thing. Let's talk about what's going on. We had kind of a rough weekend last weekend because it rained on us, and we don't get much rain out here. So we have nut report last weekend. Did you go anywhere special?
No, just downtown, usual command post. But but Bill, you're not gonna believe this scientific research I found out about today.
Share your scientific research with me, sir. Let's start this off with scientific research.
Absolutely.
Credibility on the show.
Absolutely. This was sent to me by Art.
Art.
Art sent me an email. This is what was in the email. Every once in a while, science is just right. What we won't do for the women, for our women's health, and it's a fact. Study. Fellatio may significantly decrease the risk of breast cancer in women, Bill.
Wait. Who said this to us?
Art.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So when I opened it up and I started reading, this is what I got, Bill. This was done Thursday last week. Was published at 9:19, okay? We've got the University of North Carolina involved here, Bill.
All right.
We have the Mayo Clinic involved, Bill.
Pretty respectable so far.
Pretty respectable, absolutely. It says, the women who perform the act of fellatio and swallow semen on a regular basis, one or two times a week, may reduce their risk of breast cancer by up to 40%, a North Carolina State University study found.
You know, let me ask you to stop for 1 second, because, you know, fellatio, I don't know, that's just a hard, coarse word. Can you just say the nice, friendly word, blowjob?
Absolutely.
That's such a nice, friendly word. Fellatio, negative, blowjob. Yeah, I like that. Go ahead, sir.
Fellatio sounds like something kinky anyway.
Yeah. It's too basic.
Okay, so now, the doctors had never suspected a link between the act of fellatio and breast cancer, but new research being performed. Can you believe go to college? You not only get involved in the study, you get a blowjob when you get there.
I want to get a grade for that, too.
I don't know. It depends. So the research is being performed right now, Bill. It's starting to suggest that there could be an important link between the two. In a study of how many women do you think, Bill?
50,000? I don't know.
15,000.
15, okay.
Suspected of having performed regular fellatio and swallowed the ejaculatory fluid over the past 10 years. The researchers found that those actually having performed the act regularly, one or two times a week, had a lower occurrence of breast cancer than those who had not. There was no increased risk. However, those who did not regularly perform, I think it removes the last shade of doubt that fellatio is actually a healthy act, said Dr. A.J. Kramer of Johns Hopkins School of Medicine.
More credibility,
okay? Who was not involved in the research. I am surprised by these findings, but I'm also excited. Yeah, I would be too.
Yeah.
I'd be a test candidate. How about you?
In a word, yes.
Okay. I'm surprised by those findings, but I'm also excited that the researchers may have discovered a new, relatively easy way to lower the occurrence of breast cancer in women. The university researchers stressed that Though breast cancer is relatively uncommon, any steps taken to reduce the risk would be a wise decision. Now, the only reason I brought this up, Bill, I wasn't going to say
it. Do tell.
I was going to show you about this. But
you're going to show me what?
I was going to show you this.
Oh, all right.
The article. But since October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I figured I'd share this with you and everybody else that's listening.
You know, I'm sure they appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I think that for all you men out there that are wasting your valuable seed and all by yourself, stop what you're doing. Go right over there, find a woman. Remember, we care for her breast, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I see Art's in there and Art's in the chat right now.
All right.
He's probably listening to us. Thanks for sending this, Art, because Bill and I are sitting here, we're really kicking this around in our heads. But with the only regular occurrence, will your chances be reduced? So I encourage all women out there to make a fellatio an important part of their daily routine, said Dr. Helena Schaefer, one of the researchers at the university. Since the emergence of the research, I try to fellate at least once every other night to reduce my chances.
So not only should they examine their breast, they should fellate, did you say? Is that a real word?
That's a real word.
Blowjob. Let's go basic.
Okay.
Blowjob.
Now, the study is reported in last Friday's Journal of Medical Research. In 1991, 43,582 women who died of breast cancer, as reported by the National Cancer Institute. Dr. Len Lichtenstein, Deputy Director of Medical Officer for the American Cancer Society.
No respectability.
There you go. Said women should not overlook or play down these findings. This will hopefully change women's practice and patterns, resulting in a severe drop in the future number of cases, he said. Sooner said, the research shows no increase in the risk of breast cancer in those who are, for whatever reason, not able to fellate regularly. Okay? There's definitely fertile ground for more research. Absolutely. I'll be a candidate. Many have stepped forward to volunteer for related research now in the planning stages. Sure. I'm sure if they had a cattle call, they got 50,000 guys to show up with a heart on.
So, basically, even sometimes they have these things they say, you know, has side effects. We're saying here that even if we're not 100% sure, there will be no side effects from this.
Right.
Well, that's all healthy then.
Okay.
Like taking natural herbs and stuff, I guess.
Absolutely.
So, what does Art do at night, I wonder?
I don't know. We can bring him in a minute. Let me get back to the article.
All right. Well, just pause because he hit the wrong button, ladies and gentlemen. He's back again now. Okay.
Absolutely. Almost every woman is at some point going to perform the act of fellatio, but it is the frequency at which the event most occurs that makes the difference, say the researchers. Also, key seems to be the pattern protein and enzyme count in the semen. But researchers are again waiting for more test data. The research consisted of two groups, 6,246 women ages 25 to 45, who had performed fellatio and swallowed on a regular basis over the past 5 to 10 years, and 9,728 women who had not swallow. The group of women who had performed and swallowed had a breast cancer rate of 1.9%. The group who had not had a breast cancer rate of 10.4%. The findings do suggest that there are other causes for breast cancer besides the absence of regular fellatio. Schaefer said it's the cause, not the cause.
So no side effects again.
No side effects.
Okay, based upon this, I'm going to ask you a question. Screwdriver, can you guess what my first porno film ever was?
No.
Yes, you can. What's the subject?
Fellatio.
What's my first porno film I ever went to go see?
Fellatio.
Deep Throat.
Okay.
That was the first porno film I ever saw in my life, and I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not a prude, but I'm going to state this right now. I never again went to see another porno film, ever, because I decided I am not a spectator. I am a participant. No more porno films for me. I started my own shows. I did go see that one. Try to tie it in so you catch that, but that Zoom.
Right. And let me grab
you see Deep Throat?
Yeah.
Okay. Who are you going to grab? Don't grab me.
No, I'm going to grab Art.
You grab Art all you want. That's
yeah,
okay
with me. Don't touch him. Well, I'll leave that there so we can go back and forth to it.
All right.
Art, are you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I was thinking of I was trying to think of a good topic to start off the night. Dude, you hit it. You gave it to me on the post, man.
Well, you know, we always got to worry about our women's health and what we won't do to make sure that we do everything we can.
Absolutely.
You know, and
you're a man who gives and he gives and he gives. You're a credit to the human race, there, Brother Art.
Yeah. I'm serious enough now, I think, with all these women out there that don't have guys, that we should actually volunteer to help them, too.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should set a website up here where people can contact us and we refer people to them. Now, wait a minute. Does that make us like pimps or something?
Maybe. I'd have that one, buddy.
Well, you could always reference them to Camp Pendleton. I'm sure they got volunteers up there.
Well, you know, they did that a few years ago, and the only problem was the guys were making the porno movies, and some of them had their Social Security numbers, and that's how they found them.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep.
Well, you know what I want to talk about? Hang on, Art, for a second, if you would. I want you. This is something I've been interested in, and I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I want to talk to everybody. October is the best month. Because it's time for my favorite holiday, Halloween. My favorite. Nothing is more fun than monsters, vampires, and spooky decor. Sometimes I think maybe that we should change the name from Halloween to It's Acceptable to Dress Like a Whore Day. What do you think about that?
That's cool.
All these teenagers who are going to come to my house trick-or-treating with no costume on, you're not getting no candy. Why 14, 15, 16-year-old guys come for a piece of candy? It ain't going to happen in my house anyway. Now, on the negative side about this, I get a little concerned because I'm not into pedophilia. But I don't think it's appropriate to condone pedophilia on a day when children are running around after dark accepting candy from strangers. You think that's a little twisted? All right, now for all you lovely ladies out there, there's a fine line between sexy and slutty. Screwdriver and I, and we'll try to get Art to help you too, send us pictures of your Halloween costume. We will tell you if it's slutty or we'll tell you if it's sexy. What do you think about that?
That'll work.
And ladies, if you want to go for the slutty look, we will be glad to give you advice. I picked this up from a little bit in...
I'll put the email address
please.
In there, Bill.
Reader's Review this month came out, and there's a whole article about it, and that was kind of interesting. As I do see a lot of girls I know that would never dress like that and go out in public, and yet at my brother's party coming up at the end of the month, these girls get pretty wild.
Yeah.
Not that we're complaining.
No.
So if you're concerned about the issue, Screwdriver and I will try to get Art in there. Send us your pictures, and we'll tell you, slutty... or sexy. In fact, I don't think the sexy girls need to contact us at all. Let's go right for the slutty girls. What do you think?
Right.
Art, what do you think about that? Girls getting all dressed up, slutty or sexy. Do you think that down deep inside they want to dress like that more often?
Yeah, I do. You know, and we should encourage it. Their inner feelings should come out. As long as we're helping them physically, we may as well help them mentally, too.
Taking the restraints off. We're telling people, be who you are. No, excuse me, be who you want to be. You're not stuck with being who you are. If you feel Halloween, you want to dress slutty, who are we to judge other people? Right, Art?
Absolutely.
Very much. Very much.
I was going to mention to you that I didn't do much over the weekend last weekend. Art, what'd you do? Did you stay home with the rain? Did you cruise a little bit, or... I was in the house most of the time.
Hey, I was fighting an electrical problem on the bike.
Mm.
I hate those.
You know, I drove at 08 Dyna to work today, and they have the electrical system, the wires going back to the turn signal and the taillight, encased in a a tube of solid rubber. The end of the rubber, it goes into the turn signal, it goes into the taillight. It's held on by adhesiveness, if there is such a word. Adhesive tape, adhesive something, anyway. This rubber is like sticking to my rear fender, and I guess with the heat we had, it became weak because I was riding down the road to work, and the whole thing fell out, fell down on my tire, and then the end of the rubber adhesive, all the wires sticking out there, my rear tire chewed to pieces. So I came to the traffic light, my red check light came on, I pulled off, I just chewed those wires to hell. How cheap is Harley-Davidson? They put an adhesive on to hold my wires in, and the heat makes it fall apart. Now, California doesn't get that warm. I'm worried about guys in Phoenix, stuff like that. And I wonder if anybody, Art, you ever come across that where the whole wiring just falls off because it gets too warm? What do you ride, Art, by the way?
I've got a 98 Super Glide and a 1980 FLT.
Okay.
So mine still has.
You don't got no cheap rubber, glue hold your stuff together, do you?
No, mine still have little metal tabs that hold them in place.
Yeah. The reason I did away from the metal tabs is if you had a little short, it would arc out of there on the metal tabs. However, the metal tabs are holding the wires away from your wheel. Therefore, you can't get a short.
That's
by
right.
Going to the rubber, we've eliminated the tabs, but now the rubber falls down, falls on my tire. I shorted two wires out. You know, it's not the end of the world. It took 5 minutes to fix, but I got kind of a brand new bike, and every time I turn around, something they're trying to take such shortcuts on these motorcycles today. I don't know. I'm picking on Harley, and the day just got started. Sorry about that, Harley Davidson. You know what? I'm going to skip talking about China today, too. Although a guy brought a Chinese bike up today, and I thought you set him up. He came up with a little scooter, and he said to me, I got a bike outside. Can you help me? I said, I'd be glad to. Honda, Yamaha, Harley Davidson, I'll go out and help anybody. And I looked at this Chinese. I couldn't do it, guys. I just couldn't do it. I'm not going to touch no communist vehicles. I got nothing against the Chinese people, but the Chinese government has got to go. Communism, as we know it, has got to go. But I will share with everybody out there, I did call up a friend of mine who doesn't have the same philosophies I have, and was able to help this guy out. It was some type of a pilot jet or something, so I sent him over because I refused to even look at it. I know in today we're supposed to be open-minded and the world's shrinking and all that, but why should I have to give up my rights? Why should I have to give up my likes? I don't like communism. I don't like, well, Russia's okay now. I don't like Cuba communism. I think the Cubano people are wonderful. I don't like their government. I'm very disappointed that America made like 250 attempts to try to kill Castro and couldn't do it. Doesn't state well for our government, does it?
No.
Doesn't state well for our CIA. You know, I'm trying to sit here and talk to you, and you got a girl with the biggest boobs in the whole world on. No wonder I'm getting nervous up here. All right, I'll get back. Good Lord. We're trying to do a show.
I know.
You want to tell what's going on here?
No.
I'm not going to say this. This is just unbelievable. Anyway, get back in there. So I don't know where the hell I was here. So I sent the guy over. He got a fix. We're all okay and all that. One of his pilot jets was sticky or something with that. I've got nothing special. John Del Santa was nice to come on last week and tell us about the noise law stuff. Art, you hear anything more about that? The governor signed the law, or everything's pretty much the same now?
Yeah, I really haven't seen much coming down, so I figure it's all just, you know, in the process.
I've got a couple Screaming Eagle exhaust mufflers stashed, and I think 2013 is like brand new. Not the Screaming Eagle 2s, the Screaming Eagle 1s, a little louder. Push comes to shove, 2013, I can always put them on, and they'll be made by Harley. Maybe I can get by with that. Now, we were talking last time, Bub exhaust pipes are already coming up with some type of muffler. I've done some research, Art. Maybe you can help me. I haven't found any other exhaust system trying to fit the EPA qualifications. Have you heard anything at all?
No, Bub was the only one listed that has got a CARB-certified exhaust system.
Somebody else has got to wake up somewhere, somehow.
Well, that's why they were trying to reference them when they were trying to pass that bill, and Bub stood up and said they don't support it.
Initially.
Right.
No, initially,
well,
didn't,
No, they never did.
Or did initially Bob say they were with it, and then afterwards they said...
No, Pavley did that. Pavley threw them under the bus. They weren't involved in it at all. She just used them because they were the first ones to get CARB-certified pipes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. But somebody called last week and said the race for the governor is coming up in California here, and picking the lesser of two evils. And they said, well, why do we got to pick any evil at all? And somehow that little statement kind of, for days, I'm thinking, I don't care for anybody running for office there.
No.
And then somebody told me the other day that if you testify in front of Congress and you lie, you can be thrown in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And yet how many times, just take the past year, has Congress made statements to the American public which are lies and they're not accountable for it?
No.
I'm not real comfortable with that either. Goes back to when you and I were very, very young. We went in the military. You didn't care where they sent you. I didn't care where they sent me. I just didn't care. But now that I'm a grandfather, I want to know about what's going on. I want to know why are our troops over there? Why can't we get out of here? Somehow, as I'm getting older, I have concern, not for myself and for you, because we're expendable. But our grandkids are kind of getting me a little nervous. How do you feel about that, guy?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like this lady's, you know, she screwed up. She paid herself, like, everything went in the tank, and she paid herself $120 million and then left after she laid off all those people.
Oh, that pick.
Yeah.
Running for governor, yeah. What the hell? I asked the questions about the military. I said, did it bother you when you went in? You didn't care.
No, I didn't care.
But does it bother you now that your grandchildren,
I don't have any grandchildren.
Oh, well, let's make one up.
No, I don't have. No, we don't make anything up here, Bill. We're known by.
What if that thing in the backyard? That thing you have in the backyard.
The pit bull.
What if he went to war? Would you?
The pit bull.
Do you feel like now you want to know why is he going to war?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, before when you and I went in, we didn't care.
No.
We didn't care where we went. We didn't care about nothing. I think as we get older, though, I want to know these things. You know.
Yeah, I mean.
Because, you know, you got a good pit bull. I don't want you to lose it. You know?
No, I won't lose it. But you know, it's. It is now, you know, it's not like it was because, you know, they didn't have anybody joining on a daily basis, you know.
I didn't join.
No, I didn't join either.
I'm a U.S. If you guys don't know, that means draft. I mean, I was drafted. U.S. is my number, guys.
It was me, the recruiter, the district attorney, the judge, and my lawyer. And I left for Parris Island, South Carolina, 10 minutes after I walked out of that room.
Yeah. I actually was very fortunate enough. I haven't spoke about this before. I worked my sophomore and junior year at an airport here in Southern California, stripping paint by hand off airplanes. I made a lot of money for a kid. I also worked for Carlsbad Raceway. And on Friday and Saturday night, I would bring my, at that time in high school, beginning of high school, I had a BSA, 650. I'd ride to the racetrack, and they would put gas in my motorcycle. I'd ride around the perimeter of the racetrack, and I'd use my vocabulary to tell a gentleman, kindly to get over the fence.
Right.
Actually, I said, get the blank, blank, over the blank, blank. Gave me a chance to increase my vocabulary. The end of the night, I came back, filled up my gas tank again, they paid me cash. And then when I got out of high school, as soon as I got out, I bought myself a K-Model Sportster.
Mm-hmm.
Took a couple months redoing the whole bike, and I went to San Francisco to find them hippies. And also, that gentleman right there, his correct name is Sonny Bagar, although everybody calls Sonny Barger in the program. It's Bagar, I understand. I went up there to meet them. And being the rough, tough biker I was, I had to check in with my mama once a week. And sooner or later, I got a letter. Congratulations, your friends and neighbors have selected you. I came back to Carlsbad, California, went down to the draft board, and I said, would you mind telling me which friends and neighbors selected me, but they wouldn't tell me, screwdriver.
They wouldn't tell me either.
Off I went.
All they told me was, you're getting on a plane in 3 years. Three years isn't long enough. No, the judge said 4 years isn't long enough. No, the judge said, okay, 6 years. Your first tour is going to be 6 years. I asked why, and he said, don't worry about why. Just go give it a chance.
You know, I left Carlsbad. All of us from North County guys, that's Oceanside, Carlsbad, Vista, and San Diego guys. We took the same bus up to L.A., and I sat next to a guy named Kent. I wonder if he's still listening. I wonder if he's still alive. The nickname was Critter. Critter was in more fights than anybody I ever heard of. He had stabbed two people, didn't kill him, he stabbed him, and he broke into a warehouse. I believe it was the UPS warehouse. On the ride, bus ride up to L.A. at the induction center, I had to listen to this one. The toughest guy I know, whining. And this is going to change his life, screwdriver. He's going to make something of himself, and everything's going to be wonderful from now on. His past is going to be behind him. All I wanted to do was shut up.
Mm-hmm.
We went up to the induction center and went through all the tests. And as they pushed me onto a bus, Kent, the toughest kid I know, was sitting on the curb with his feet in the gutter, crying. I said, Critter, what's wrong? He said to me they wouldn't take him because he had a criminal record. This is 1969. You know most of those people went.
Yep.
And I said to the sergeant, I said, well, why aren't you taking this guy? He's already trained in stabbing and breaking into warehouses. That's got to be skills that are important. They said, we won't bring criminals into the military.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you want to bring somebody like me who has never stabbed anybody, killed anybody, I never broke into a warehouse? He said, yes, we're going to train you.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, I knew me in the military, I don't know, it's not the best thing for me, but I had a single complaint, not a complaint. How about you, Art? You doing military time?
Yeah, I did 20 years in the Navy. Does that count?
You know, it definitely does count. It definitely does come. I want to tell you a small story. This is not to make fun. No, in fact, I'm doing the Navy. No, it's an Army story. I apologize. Talked to a guy today about the Army. Basic training, they signed him up to be in the band. He did 20-some years in the Army in the band. He did the flute and the piccolo.
Oh, here we go.
You
had to go there again.
He never went
you had
for
to go, you
a
had,
damn combat.
You had to go there again.
How can you believe that? 20-some years in the Army, and he's in the band. Never saw weapons or nothing. Traveled around playing music. How's that for a racket?
I know a young man that just got out of the Marine Corps, did 4 years in the Marine Corps, played in the band, and never went anywhere to get shot at. 4 years.
Well, this guy came in before I did. He came in the middle 60s, and they told him they couldn't get people to join the band. They said, we assure you, nobody in the band goes to Vietnam. So he raised his hand, and he learned to play the instruments. Never saw combat anywhere.
We got another caller, Bill. I'm not sure who this is, so I'm gonna bring her in.
Hang around, Art.
Hello, caller.
Hey, it's Anastasia.
Anastasia!
Hey, how you doing?
Sweetwater Harley Davidson, one of the few authorized dealerships in America owned by a mother and daughter team. Assisted by Anastasia's wonderful husband, Brian. Better get that in there quick. Anastasia, tell us what's happening at Sweetwater Harley Davidson.
Well, let's see. We have lots of fun stuff, but our main thing, we have a ride going on October the 24th. It's the Children's Trinity, well, it's called Trinity Children's Foundation of America, and that's in memory of Tom, which that was my stepfather.
Tom Harding, of course, was the original founder of Sweetwater Harley-Davidson when it was called
South Coast.
Thank you.
South Coast.
That one town they moved into a mega store, and then Tom passed on. A gentleman who I like to say was a friend of mine, and he was a gentleman in the whole sport. Some dealers are just kind of, you know, Tom was a gentleman, though. I always appreciate doing business with him. His idea of a business was shake a hand. Take a man's hand for a shake. That's a businessman for you. I always thought that was nice.
Yeah, that's
true. If you send me an email with that stuff, I'll put it on the blog for you.
What? Say that one more time.
If you send me all the info in an email, I'll put it up in the blog for you.
Oh, I'll do that. That sounds great. I have a flyer. I can email it to you, so that sounds great.
Yeah, email it to me, because we're getting between 40 and 45,000 hits a day.
Okay,
can you
I'll
tell me a little
morning.
Bit about where the run's going? Is it a run to your shop? Is it a poker run? Or give me the thumb-sized version of what's happening.
It is, sure. It's a poker run. It's going to start at the dealership and end at the dealership. It'll be about 100 miles. I'm trying to do back roads and stay off of the freeway. So a lot of the people, they like, of course, the scenic crowds, check out all the nice stuff that's out in the, I don't want to say boonies, but, you know, out there far east, and get out of the traffic and go down some of the two-lane nice roads. So we're going to do that, end up back at the dealership. We're going to have $25 for the rider, $15 for passenger, $10 for extra hand. And we'll probably draw, we have prizes for high and low hand, and we'll draw around 2 o'clock. So regardless of when you leave, if you want to go have a, you know, who knows, lunch somewhere else and come back, 2 o'clock, that's when we're going to draw the high and low hand. We're also going to try to have some bike games. We'll have raffle prizes, pinstriping artists, and
since it's October and it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, are we going to have a wet T-shirt contest?
We are not going to have that.
Did you miss the part when I said authorized dealership? I'm talking about credibility here.
It is credible.
Big Brother in Wisconsin is taking a peek at what they're doing, and they're doing a good job. They're not having no wet T-shirt contest there.
I was going to say we might get some flag if we do that.
yes.
Some opposition, you know. But then again, maybe we might get more people, but no, we really can't do that.
We're restricted by big corporate America, right?
Hey, we do have a pink and black bike on the floor, though, that we kind of did for breast cancer awareness, but we left the ribbons off. So if somebody bought that bike and they wanted the ribbons, then we could have the ribbons painted on for them. It's actually pretty nice. It's a diner.
Your husband, Brian, told me you've got access to a, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but an absolutely fantastic painter. Do you know who that painter is in San Diego?
You know what? He's probably talking about aggressive designs.
I saw some of their work on your bikes back there. Outstanding company. Good people.
Yeah, we have a display in the service department. He does real good. He does real good work. He actually painted our service truck too. Looks real nice.
Truck looks outstanding. They're pretty impressive. And you know, I want to mention to everybody that we went down to Rosarita Beach via Sweetwater Harley-Davidson. About 2 of us went down there, well organized. We thank you very much for that. You were nice enough to help set up a police escort with the federal police. And all the way down to Rosarita Beach, we partied next night thanks to Sweetwater Harley and a wonderful organization. What's Martine's organization's name? Can you remember, Anastasia?
Holy cow. It's and their website is Rolling Deep, the number 4.
Rolling Charities, right?
Rolling Deep for Charities.
Yeah, Rolling Deep for Charities. Very nice organization. I'd met the man before, but that first run I went on, and that was made everybody feel comfortable. Now, you and I have been going down to Mexico for so long, it doesn't bother us, but some people came down with me for the first time. Very apprehensive, no muss, no fuss, came back nice, so that was kind of nice. Thank you for that on behalf of all of us there.
I'm glad you had a nice time. Uh-oh. Hold on 1 second.
Everything all right?
Can you hear my? That's my daughter. I'm sorry.
Husband, what?
Yeah, it is. Hang on a second. Say hi.
Hi.
There we go.
Hello.
Hold on 1 second. Okay, I'm back. My
all right.
I have her occupied in the bathtub while I'm chatting with y'all. Because I did not.
Any more trips coming up to Mexico, or how about the run coming up to Puerto Penasco, Rocky Point? Are you going to get involved in that a little bit, maybe, or with Martin or anything?
You know what? I might do that. I saw something on the internet with him. I was going to contact him, see if he needed any help with that. I haven't contacted him yet, but we'll see. Are you going?
You know, the ride down here, my wife's been in a wheelchair for a year and a half, and she just came out of the wheelchair just recently with the diabetes. The ride down to Rosarita Beach was only 125 miles because we went 805, but I had to stop 3 times to do 125 miles. I'm afraid that 500-miler, it's coming up in like a month and a half. I think that'd be too much for her. Next year we're going because, you know, that's one of my favorite places, but she only wants to ride the motorcycle. And I'm trying to be practical. I think that might be too much, you know?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I've heard that.
And she will not let me go by myself.
Oh, she won't?
No.
No, she won't let me go by myself. Sometimes he's on a short leash.
Very short leash.
I've never been down there.
Well, I told him not to teach her how to use that gun.
Yes. And you know, it's not like I can do anything wrong. Everybody knows who I am, so if I do something wrong before I get home, you know, she would know, so that's why I'm afraid to do anything. Has that girl talked to you about the run the following week for the domestic violence?
You know what, I have not spoken with her. I'm not sure if Mariana's spoken with her.
Okay.
I haven't gotten anything.
Because I'm not really sure. We'll talk about this more next week when we finalize, but it's a run against domestic violence, and as soon as I heard it, it just made me feel like the time is now. Why should we men work all day long, come home, and to be abused by our wives?
Well, actually,
the time for domestic violence, we got to stop it.
Actually,
we men stop being violent.
Actually, Bill,
what?
Actually, Bill, here's what you got to do. I'm going to go back to this because this is the piece, this is the pace.
The results.
There you go. Okay. You know, it's like I told you, every once in a while, science is just right. What we won't do for our women's health, it's a fact, Bill. And you know what the study is on? Fellatio may significantly decrease the risk of breast cancer in women.
Anastasia, you're into where, does this guy sleep at night? Does he spend all night looking for interesting things? But he only wants to help women out, so we got to say thank you for that, Philip, you know.
Sure.
You can't talk
thank
like
you.
That. Dealership.
Is that only
like
in October, though?
That was a good topic for October, right?
No, that's what I was going to say. Is that only in October?
Oh.
Well, hey, you know. I mean,
I want you to be careful now. Don't make me start telling stories about all the old days down in Mexico. I won't, but don't push me.
Don't go there. Oh, that's great. Hey, have
you know,
don't mean to
not,
change the subject. Well, it's really not changing the subject.
Her cheeks should be red, I can tell you right now.
Bill, I can see the glow coming from the south right now.
You know, I love this country. I've told everybody I'm so proud to be an American. But I have to say that many, 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 many of my favorite runs have all been down to Mexico.
Definitely.
You and I have been going down 20-some years or more. Anastasia has been going down forever and all that. It's just that there's not that many homes. You can drive parallel to the ocean. You can spit and hit the ocean some places. It's so wide open. We're in Southern California, growth and restriction. You can take peaks. You can see the ocean, but you can't actually, like, be there. And that's kind of special to me.
Right. You know, just to go back to that research, Anastasia, let me enlighten you on something they said, just to touch on this. It said the research consisted of two groups, 6,246 women ages 25 to 45 who had performed fellatio and swallowed on a regular basis over the past 5 to 10 years, and 9,728 women who had not or did not swallow. The group of women who performed and swallowed had a breast cancer rate of 1.9%, and the group who had not had a breast cancer rate of 10.4%. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't really know what to say about that one.
Right, because my friend Anastasia is a lady, and a lady in public would never comment on that. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I don't think I'm going to discuss those stats today. How about that?
All right, I want to talk about something else.
But
stop
hey,
talking.
Bill, listen. We got the Mayo Clinic here, Bill.
I don't.
We got John Hopkins.
We have got a lady on the phone. We have a very shy lady on the phone.
Anastasia, I apologize.
There you go. Okay.
Sometimes I pick a topic and I want to dissect it.
But wait a minute.
And I apologize if I offended you.
Right? Go back to something in the Harley-Davidson world, Anastasia.
Okay,
I'm over here
fast.
With Mr. Smut.
Real fast. Do you still go to Ensenada down there for Mardi Gras?
I haven't gone down in a couple of years.
It's been rained out at that time of year when we want to go.
Yeah, I haven't been down since 96. That's been
I've been down there in the last 6-7 years. I've been down there probably 40, 50 times.
Do you know in Ensenada, for Mardi Gras, the last 96, was that the year we came back and downtown Tijuana had the sinkholes and all the sewers were backing up? Do you know, was that the same time? It's almost rained every year I've gone down for Mardi Gras, but do you remember coming back to Tijuana and the sinkholes were there?
No, I don't remember that.
No, that must have been another year. It's interesting. I looked at the bottom of the sinkhole. There was a Volvo. I'm looking at the top of a Volvo. I'm trying to weave my way around. The cops had shut so many streets down. I said to him, hey, I'm on a motorcycle. Can I drive the sidewalks? He goes, yeah, go ahead. Kind of like that openness down there. Oh, by the way, when we went down to Rosarita Beach with Martine, we were rolling down, a couple hundred of us down the highway, and I was doing about 75. I think the speed limit was 55. I'm not sure. I swear to you this is true. Police come flying up to me on their motorcycles with the blue lights flying, and they're waving, come on, come on, come on, everybody. We got to go faster. I thought, what a wonderful country.
He
gets up to 85 miles an hour in a 55 zone. Police escort, what a great country, you know?
And they want you to go faster.
Yeah, so the guys on the other end of the road can jam you up with a ticket.
No, no, no. We have police escort all the way down. No stop signs, no traffic lights, no problem. Martine did a very good job. A few small bumps in the road trying to coordinate things, but everybody went down, felt that they got their work. We stopped at Papa's and Beers, and they gave us a great feed, all included in the benefit. It was a little bit cool.
Yeah.
But Anastasia, I stayed at the Rosarita Beach Hotel, and they gave me a room for $62 a night. I think it was $120. But $62 for the night, right on the beach, horseback riding, going back and forth, ATVs, and about a half hour after I got there, Autolite, one of those hang gliders with the motor, I think they're called Autolites, or
yeah.
We all got the idea. Anyway, landed right in the beach right in front of me. There is no OSHA in Mexico at all. You just do what you want to do down there. It was
beautiful.
Yeah, that's
a beautiful hotel. I like it.
It is a nice, yeah. I got there, was a beautiful wedding going on. It was a high dollar wedding. Because they had the horses and the carriages and everybody's to the max. The bride and groom came out, and I heard the bride kept saying she didn't want to get in the carriage. She kept saying, no, 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 motorcycle. And she came over and asked me, the white dress and all that, could they take pictures on the motorcycle before they took off? And I said, of course.
Really?
And says, you know, my Spanish is so bad. Maybe you can help me. I think you took high school Spanish. When the Mexican girls turned 15, is it the...
Quinceañero,
thank you. That was going on at the same time. They came dressed out. These young girls, like prom queens, and the young men were all dressed up. So the wedding and the, say it again, Philip, Quinceañera?
Quinceañera.
So they almost got out at the same time, and they're all dressed beautiful, and we're sitting there in our leathers and all that. So it was kind of nice.
That was neat. There was a lot going on down there when you were there.
It really was. A lot of good time. However, the amount of people, there wasn't that many. It was down two-thirds off. I found a gentleman there, and the first night I got there, he told me he's from Oceanside. And I said, well, I'm from Oceanside. He was in a car accident, nine months in the hospital. Then he got out and recovered. His company let him go. His insurance lapsed. They took his home from him. They took everything from him. And he moved down to Rosarita Beach. He's got a little place for $300 a month. He can't go back to America because the solicitors are hounding him day and night. I thought that was an isolated incident. The next night, I met a girl in a bar.
What were you doing in a bar?
And she was telling me that she's from Murrieta, which is just up the road in Riverside. She had a $450,000 home. Her and her husband were both corporate people way up there. Within 1 year's time, they both lost their jobs. They couldn't make the payments. They lost their house. The solicitors started calling them and bugging them and beating them. The children already moved out, so they packed up the stuff they had. They moved down to Rosarita. They're living down there, too. Two Americans who had to leave the country because the solicitors and the governor beating them to death. For God's sakes,
wow.
We need to keep Americans with it. We need to help these people out. The woman spoke some Spanish, Anastasia, but the gentleman spoke none, and he was so lonely to speak to Americans. It was kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's really sad.
Yeah.
Oh, man. How long have you been down there?
Let me know if you and Brian are going to go down to Rocky Point. I don't know if Kathy's health is going to be strong enough. But the following year, it will be down there. My brother Michael will be at Rocky Point. Did you get my message?
Really?
I called you at your authorized dealership, Sweetwater Harley-Davidson, today.
You did?
I did. I'm going to stop by your shop tomorrow.
Oh, good. I called and I talked to Mike today. I don't think you were there.
No, I was out doing a meeting. I came back, and we made a confirmation that because the weather's going to be good, I'm going to run down tomorrow, drop a few more bikes off. So the two of us stopped by. I want to see if you and your mother was there, Mariana. And she said, Mariana said she'd be there tomorrow, so I'm going to stop in and walk in the back and say hello to Brian, your husband. There's Anastasia and Mariana, and somehow I never give Brian his credit and do so. I'm pushing that hard.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Come back and see him in service. But I'll be there. We'll all three be there.
Yeah.
We run out at about 11, but other than that, if I know you're coming, I'll wait for you.
I'll leave around 10. I'll be there, way before noon.
Okay.
It's only an hour drive. I'll be there way before noon.
Yeah.
Depends how long it takes me to bring down the little surprises for you. Some beautiful ones coming down this weekend. Beautiful motorcycles.
Woohoo! Okay. Well, then, listen, we will see you tomorrow.
Okay, and we'll talk maybe about the event more when it comes on, and then about this event for domestic violence.
Sounds great.
Okay. I will talk to you soon. Thank you. Say hello to Brian. Say hello to your mama. See you tomorrow, girl, okay?
And y'all have a great rest of the show. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
You know, I believe they are the only mother and daughter team in all of America that own their own authorized dealership. And you've been down there. It's a megastore, right?
Mm-hmm.
My brothers and I own Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside, California. You could put our whole store, and there are two stories, you can put their whole store in one small corner of their building, couldn't you?
Right.
That's massive, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, no,
keep me humble.
Yeah, you know, I came up with some other stuff, Bill, and I'm multitasking here right now. That's the problem. But
well, you want me to talk a little bit?
Yeah, talk
to me. All right. You know what? We have a lot of biker movies, and I was doing some research. We have a new issue of a Quick Throttle, October, and I found the 10 worst motorcycle movies out there. This is what I do for you, my people. I am a river to my people. I want to share with you. So are you ready? Number 10, 10 worst biker movies ever. 1971, it was called Werewolves on Wheels. What happens when the motorcycle gang, the devil's disciples, meet up with a cult of satanic monks who promptly turn them into werewolves? Well, there's no scripts, bad acting, lousy camera work. Actually, it's better to be pretty much drunk to watch that one. Number 9, 1968, they came out with She Devils on Wheels, The Man-Eaters, an all-female motorcycle gang. Not club now, gang.
Right.
Terrorize a local community with a new prospect, Honeypot.
Oh.
Racing each other for this first pick of the male groupies' stud lines and throwing raunchous orgies. No redeeming qualities in this movie at all, but as a cult classic, must be seen again and again, we suggest at least a 12-pack before you watch it. Number
eight.
A couple of
rolled ones.
Depending which way you swing. Number 8, and I got this a little bit, I wasn't sure, but so number 8, 1967, they came up with Born Losers, their first film of the Billy Jack series, and it bombed at the box office. Vicious motorcycle gang intimidated the residents into silence. Shot in Seal Beach, California. I did not know that.
Yep.
The Irisher Pub is a predominant location shot. I didn't know that. Where supposedly Indian half-breed Vietnam vet Billy Jack rescues a young woman from the biker's violence. He finds himself in trouble with the town's racist police and the gang. The mod hippie bikers in black turtlenecks wear buttons with slogans such as support sloppiness and LSD. Ooh, those are bad guys. Number 7 is a two DVD program. It's called Biker Trip Pole Mania, Rebel Rousers, The Wild Ride, Biker Babylon, and Johnny Levin, Legend Presents Biker Mania. It's basically a collection of impossible-to-find biker movie trailers, and is truly not worth watching at all. However, the bonus material includes backstory on Johnny Legend, which is kind of cool, which they suggest watching. Biker Triple Mania is another Johnny Legend presentation. If you don't know Johnny Legend, do some research. Find out why not. He's been around a little bit here. This double feature features an all-star cast. Jack Nicholson, Bruce Dern, Harry Dean Stanton, Diane Ladd, Cameron Mitchell in the Rebel Rousers, and The Wild Ride, 1960. Both features perpetuate stereotypes that bikers are drunken rapists and Mexicans wear ponchos.
Mm-hmm.
This Biker Babylon documentary, on the other hand, it has some amazing footage from the 1960s and 70s. You'll get a kick out of taking a ride back into old days. All right. This one is pathetic. Number six on our countdown, 1970, CC and Company. Everybody can think for a second, who was the star of CC and Company? Yep. Broadway Joe Namath, the legendary Super Bowl victory. The totally hot Ann Margaret plays Namath's love interest. And the motocross and nightclub sequence are extremely entertaining. Although the music is atrocious, and cameo appearances of Mitch Ryder playing the hit song CC Ryder, kind of creepy. This is a must-see list for Joe's Zebra, Painted Chopper alone. Not available on Netflix, but you can look around, you can find it. Number five. We're getting down there.
Yeah.
1968, Girl on a Motorcycle. Now,
you know, I happen to have that.
I happen to have that. I don't
that
know how this got on the list, because I
don't
thought
either.
This is okay.
I happen to have that movie.
So I hope there's somebody else out there knows what we're talking about. Now, besides the fact that Marianne Faithfull is regularly naked, which that alone was good for me watching, while slipping in and out of her leather cat suit, the European title of this movie is called Naked Under Leather. This interesting British film actually addresses why we love to ride. It's devoid of any Hollywood biker fights and drunk fest. It's well worth watching because Ms. Faithfull rides the European countryside on a killer 1967 Harley Davidson Chevrolet. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. Kick back, light up a fatty. Oh, God, that's related to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember the 60s, enjoy the trip. By the way, did I mention Marianne was naked in the film? She was. All right, 1982, and we're down to number four. William Dafoe. Defoe. I hope I said that correct now. He's in a lot of good biker stuff. This is a feature film debut. Includes an actual script, interesting cinematology, classic Harley Davidsons, and a Corvette. A lot of bad acting, punctuated by Salem's lucky strikes and really bad biker cliches. While Defoe channels Brandon and James Dean, the girl says to Defoe, "What do you do?" Defoe says, "Nothing." Girl says, "What do you mean?" Defoe says, "I mean like zero, baby." Oh, that's sad. That's sad. 1992, Roadside Prophets. Entertaining script, some great camera work here. It's a tale of a factory worker named Joe, who hits the road on his Harley to scatter the ashes of a co-worker. Did you catch that one?
No.
Okay, and that was okay. Joined by wannabe biker Sam, who's played by Adam Horowitz, who's now with the Beastie Boys. Joe journeys from Los Angeles to Nevada looking for El Dorado, and wants that special place to put his buddy's ashes. On the way, he meets, are you ready for this one? David Carradine's in this. John Cusack's in this one. Remember John Cusack, the monster football player?
Yeah.
Timothy Leary's in this one. Arlo Guthrie's in this one. Flea's in this one. And Don Shadell, and I'm sorry, Don, I don't know who you are. Great music, reasonable acting, so that's not too bad. Now we're going to run down to number two. You still do anything here?
Right.
All right, I'll go ahead. Number two, action-packed documentary chronicles the infamous treacherous Ducati Score Baja 1000 race across Mexico's Baja Peninsula. You and I have been down there many times, so.
Yes.
In order to capture the race's true power and the majestic beauty of the desert, 55 cameras and 4 helicopters were used during the filming. Join famous racing names such as Robbie Gordon, Mario Andretti, Jimmy Vassa, and Mike Mouse McCoy for an unforgettable look at one of racing's most thrilling events. Well, I've got one less, so I just quit then, or should I just go ahead?
Give me one more? Give me a minute.
Oh, I can. I got one left to go. All right. I asked for a drum roll, please, but we're kind of low. Okay, though. It came out in 2004. It's called The Long Way Around. It's another documentary. It's actually one of the most compelling motorcycle adventures documents ever done. So I don't know why I think it's bad. It was a TV series facing film actor Ewan McGregor? McGregor, yeah. And friend Charlie Borman. It's a 25-part, 5-DVD series documents a 19,000-mile journey around Europe, Asia, and Alaska to New York. It's exciting, funny, compelling, and thoroughly entertaining. So I don't know why the hell they picked on that one. That wasn't that bad. All right. Let me go about one more two here. This is going to be honorable mention now, okay?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting here. Motorcycle Diaries. True story based on the diaries of revolutionary Che Guevara. Do you know who Che Guevara was, screwdriver?
No.
Okay, well. Che Guevara, he knows who it is, of course he was. You know, he was the guy from Argentina who went over to Cuba, fight with Castro, and then as soon as Castro took over Cuba, he got jealous of Che Guevara, said, hey, man, get the blankly blank out of here. I'll support you in a foreign country. Get out of here. Do something else. Che Guevara was a brave man. He was a doctor. He was a true revolutionist, true revolutionary, I guess to be correctly. But once Castro took over again, there was no room in Cuba for him. He didn't want the political aspect of it. Anyhow, who? 1952. He was a 23-year-old medical student. Guevara traveled 8,000 kilometers on an old 1939 500 single-cylinder Norton 500 across South America with his friend Alberto Granada. It's hilarious riding scenes, good acting, and beautiful pictures. The Norton 500 unfortunately dies one-third into the film. Now, I'm going to mention Easy Rider, but not as a negative. I think Easy Rider was one of the best cult movies that are out there. There is a couple ones I want you to look at. You can rent Biker Zombies from Detroit. You can also, there's good movies out there called Hell's Bloody Devils, Angels, Wild Women. Now, we have Harley Davidson Marlboro Man, which was a biker event, a criminal event. It was little this, little of that. But can you all think for a second, when Mickey Rourke, at the end of the show, remember Mickey had that FXR, no passenger seat, no passenger foot pegs. He was leaving, and he got on the freeway. And do you remember who was standing on the freeway? Beautiful girl.
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful girl. She was hitchhiking. Mickey pulls up to her, and this is some biker talk. Are you ready? Girl's on the freeway hitchhiking. Mickey says to her, where you heading? Hot girl says, nowhere special.
Absolutely.
Mickey says,
come on, I'll take you
come
there.
Come on, I'll take you there, man. That's a biker. Going to turn left, going to turn right. Who cares? We're just going to ease on down the road. So if anybody out there wants to take some time and look at some really bad movies, I hope I gave you some choices there. Actually, the Marianne Faithfull one, though, Girl on the Motorcycle, I like that because she's out riding that shovel pretty good. I'm sure there's a lot more out there, but that's all I picked up on this thing in here. What are you doing? Should I talk to you, Mr.
Bill?
Okay, good.
Here, I got some real good information here, Bill, and I want to share it with you. I know you didn't get a chance to look this over real quick, so if you want to read over my shoulder while we're doing this, that's
okay.
Fine.
And I want to talk about something else. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
I got this email the other day, and it's about use this card to stand up for your rights at roadblocks.
What card?
I'll show you the card after.
All right. Well, I want to know what's going on.
But the Fourth Amendment has been weakened significantly over the years in an effort to allow the use of roadblocks as law enforcement tool. Fortunately, you still have rights. You should choose to exercise them. Just like when I say, Bill, I refuse to give up my rights.
That's correct.
Because it's against my principles.
As an American citizen.
Absolutely.
Family man and veteran.
Absolutely. So fortunately, you still have the rights if you choose to exercise them. Where citizens are faced with roadblocks, they may politely refuse to answer any of the officer's questions. Now, in my case, I answer a question with a question. To make this more easy to do, you can follow this script to assert your rights. I refuse to talk to you until I consult with my attorney. I also refuse to consent to any search of my premises or any premises under my control or which I have possessory, proprietary, or private interest, including my car, my body, and my effects, including, in this case, my saddlebags and anything I'm wearing at that time.
As an American citizen.
As you know.
On American road.
As you know, they've told us, hey,
yes.
Take off your jacket, we want to see your tattoos.
And that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Not that we're going to have any tattoos. It's not the point.
Right.
We're not showing you.
Right. And also, what do you got in your saddlebags? You got a warrant.
Yeah.
What are you trying to hide? I'm not trying to hide anything. You got a warrant? You can look at my saddlebag.
Exactly. Go away for a warrant.
Am I free to go? Am I under arrest?
Every time we said call for a drug sniffing dog, we'll be glad to wait. But we're not opening up anything.
Nope.
We're not going to give it up. No.
You know, and then it's like, I hereby, as this goes on, it says, I hereby demand to immediately be allowed to reasonably opportunity to obtain the advice of my attorney by telephone. Because you know and I know, as soon as they pull us over, what's the first thing they ask?
Shut the phone off.
Shut the phone off. Turn it off. So I tell them.
And if you hold on to it, they'll take it out of your hands.
They'll take it out of your hands. We've already had people rip it out of their hands.
Right.
So I desire to exercise all my rights guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state to be free from your interference with my person or affairs. If you attempt to question me, I want my lawyer present. I refuse to participate in any lineup or perform any physical acts or to speak or display my person or property at your direction without first conferring with my lawyer.
Correct.
All right. Number two, if I am under arrest, I wish to invoke and exercise my Miranda rights. If you ignore my exercise of these rights and attempt to procure a waiver, I want to confer with my lawyer prior to any conversations with you. Okay? Then number three, if I am taken into custody, removed from my present location, or separated from my property, I request a reasonable opportunity to make arrangements to secure my own property. I do not consent to any impoundment or inventory of my property. I do hereby waive any claim of liability for loss, theft, damage against you, your superiors, or any other authority, and agree to hold all harmless therefrom. If I am afforded the reasonable opportunity to arrange for safekeeping of my own property. If this reasonable opportunity is denied or is unavailable, I demand that only such intrusion occur as minimally necessary to secure such property, hereby waiving any claim of liability for your failure to scrutinize the property or its contents prior to it being secured.
And if I could condense that in a nutshell, all we're saying is we're asking to use our cell phone to call for assistance, a backup truck, so you don't call for the tow truck, and then I pick up a hell of a bill the next day or two with that. And what is wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. You need to know what your rights are, though, because if you get in a confrontation with the officer, you've already shot yourself in the foot. If the officer's job is to write a ticket, I got no problem with that. Your job is to debate, discuss, not with the officer. Where do we discuss our tickets?
In court.
Don't be afraid of court. I get people, I don't want to take a day off. I don't want to. I read today only 2% of the motorcycle community is doing anything to guarantee our rights. I mean, 98%, and I don't, are 98% are just letting those 2% do everything. And I said this before, and I want to say it again. It's people like Red Baron, when he was doing it, there probably wasn't even 2%, but he was out there trying to do the work of 100% for all of us. Even I, in the old days, would listen to Red Baron and say, Jesus, this guy did, just shut up.
Right.
He was out there doing the research, the paperwork and everything. I waited for him to tell us what was going on. Now we have to help him.
Yes.
Everybody who's listening to me has to help. You don't have to go to court, but you need to be involved with your MROs. I'm not asking you who to join up. I'm not asking you to join any organization if you don't want to.
Well,
these biker rights are protecting us.
And here's the other thing, Bill.
What?
Okay. If you get a ticket. You receive a ticket. What I'd like you to do is you can go on any site here, get my contact information, okay? And what I want you to do is take a copy of the front and back of the ticket and write me a little dossier on anything or everything that happened, because what I'll do is I'm going to send you an IA complaint to fill out. And I need you to fill it out. I need you to make 3 copies. One you're going to keep, one you're going to turn in to the city clerk, and one you're going to turn in at the police department. And you wait back. You sit in the weeds and you wait until they contact you to go down there and talk to them like they did us.
Yes.
We went down there twice. I actually went down 3 times.
I have a question. I know we brought it up there. When you get a ticket, you said keeping your temper, the best thing you can collect is any witnesses.
Anybody
that's close
anybody
by.
Anybody in earshot. The last time I got jacked up, Bill, I got the videotape from the theater. They did it to me right in front of the theater where they handcuffed me, took my helmet off. First they handcuffed me, took the recorder out of my hand, ripped my helmet off my head. Then he had to go look in the code book to see what he was going to write me up for after he tried to charge me with obstruction.
Yeah.
When I said, all right, you already handcuffed me, let's go. I want to go to jail, but I want to make, you know.
What was the statement you were making to everybody, though?
I refuse to give up my rights.
No, to the people out there. Anybody, you're asking for a witness.
Yeah.
So I remember that because, you know, right across the street the Italian restaurant was?
Right.
I was sitting there having my dinner. I was falling down laughing. They had you on the ground. They're taking your helmet off. Oh, I was rolling and rolling. Oh, it's hilarious. Oh, you didn't know I was across the street?
That's okay.
Oh, I thought you knew I was across the street. No?
That's okay.
Oh, I feel kind of bad now.
No. So, it's okay.
It looks kind of funny, though, because you're on the ground, you know.
Well, here's number 5, Bill.
Okay, go ahead.
If I am not under arrest, I want to leave. If I am free to leave, please tell me immediately so that I may go on about my business. Roadblocks can be stressful to deal with, and many people initially intending to stand up for themselves will bypass the opportunity if they are required to actually speak to the officer, which is true. Everybody clams up. The best thing to say is, shut up.
That's right. Don't tell the cops shut up. We're giving the advice we're telling you is just shut up.
Listen first.
Is professionally trained. You're not professionally trained.
Listen first, because his job is to trip you up, and whatever you say is going to be, I don't care what they tell you, it's going to be used against you. In order to make it easier for the average driver, we put together a version of this assertion of rights for you to print out and put in your glove compartment or wallet. If you come across a roadblock, simply hand the officer your driver's license and initiated paper asserting your rights. And if anybody wants to send me an email, I put it up in the blog, in the chat room, or you can get it at the blog, and send me an email, and I'll send you to download this so you can carry it in your wallet.
Now, you and I do this a little bit different, as we said before. When they light me up there, I do not reach for my ID. I do not reach for my register. I don't reach for nothing. I sit on my bike. I shut my motorcycle off and sit on my bike. I do not say, good afternoon, officer. How you doing today, officer? That's all bullshit. But I do not say, I don't want to flip the script. I don't say, what the fuck you stopped me for? I don't do that. I sit on my vehicle. He will ask me what he's going to ask me. If he asks for my ID, I produce it. That's a little different how we do that. But it's, you know, put yourself in there.
Right. So what we're gonna do real quick here, Bill, is we're going to play your favorite song.
I love this song.
We're gonna play War by Attica 7.
I love this song.
And we'll be back in a minute.
Attica 7's good friends of ours.
Attica 7 of War. It's one of Bill's favorite songs. But to get back to this now, I have another five things you need to know about roadblocks. Things you need to know about roadblocks. Are roadblocks legal? Hey, the U.S. Supreme Court has found roadblocks to be legal for a variety of purposes, the most prominent being so-called sobriety checkpoints. There is no longer history of roadblock approvals related to checking vehicles near or at border crossings.
I do want to just cut in there for a second. If the policeman tells you to stop, you stop. Roadblocks are not supposed to be legal, but I am telling you, if the policeman gives you a directive, just stop. We're telling you it's not right. And in many states, like right now, many cities right now, Escondido, they're taking everybody to court saying, no, you can't do it. You must follow the policeman's directive. I have never on this show ever tried to give the impression to anybody I'm anti-police. They have a job to do, like the dog catcher's got a job to do, like the SDG&E, our gas crew, they got jobs to do. But I have to say this, when the police give you a order, if you don't follow it, you're just going to have a bad day. You have to know how that fine line between standing up for what is right, and you got to stand too. The officers are not lawyers. They don't always know their rights.
No, and to answer your question, here it is in a nutshell. The U.S. Supreme Court has found roadblocks to be legal for a variety of purposes, the most prominent being so-called sobriety checkpoints. There is a longer history of roadblock approvals related to checking vehicles near or at national border crossings. However, many state courts take a less favorable view of motorists based on their language.
Yeah, that differs from the state to state, right?
Right.
As it does from country to country. For example, last week we're in Mexico. We went right into the international border crossing. You and I went to a foreign country. They didn't even care.
No.
Getting back to our own country, oh, my God, where'd you go? What'd you do? Well, we don't want to answer those questions, so we said went for a good time. But one country says it's okay, another country you got to pass
right.
An act of God to get in.
And however, many state courts take a less favorable view of roadblocks based on language in their respective state constitutions. Probably the best example of this is Michigan case. It went to the U.S. Supreme Court, Stitz versus Michigan, that established the legal precedent for DUI roadblocks. While the U.S. Supreme Court found DWI roadblocks constitutional under the U.S. Constitution, the case went back to Michigan, and the state Supreme Court found DUI roadblocks to be in violation of the state's constitution, and that decision takes precedent in Michigan over the decision of the United States Supreme Court.
Well, you like to read all that stuff. I'm not. What it comes down to basically is, again, if they stop you, you have to follow the police orders, right?
Right. Well, let's put this on hold for a minute because we got a very important call here.
All right.
Hello, RJ.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
You all right, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm just working away still.
What's going on with you guys?
Not much. Why don't you tell us about Long Beach and what's coming up with Attica?
Oh, we got a show on the 30th in Long Beach at the Shore Ultra Lounge. We're doing a show with some pretty big bands. Winds of Plague, All Shall Perish, Strung Out. It's going to be a pretty killer show. Tickets are actually selling out already.
You know, Liz, I had a question for you, RJ. Bill Kennedy here. I think Rusty's going to have the lead guitar player in Attica. So he's having an open house at his shop in next month. Is he going to be playing? Is the band going to be playing at the open house? Do you know?
Yes, we will be playing, and that is going to be the 21st of November.
I don't have my calendar. You know, is that a Saturday
right.
Or Sunday?
It's a Sunday.
I believe that's
Sunday.
Saturday.
Okay.
Is it Sunday? Yeah, I'm retarded.
Sunday, Bill says, yeah. Do you know the time frame on that? The events,
yes,
the open house?
10 to 4 p.m.
I'm sorry, 10 to 4?
10 to 4.
Yeah,
okay.
10 to 4 p.m.
And I understand Rusty said even Attica might play a few songs.
Yes, Attica will play some songs for sure. We're going to do like a little showcase there. We're going to build a stage. And don't know, a lot of people want to see them play, so, and a lot of people that don't get a chance to make it out to the shows are actually going to be making it out to the open house, so.
We're and excited. Then, Rusty said something about tickets. Can you tell me about the tickets? Were
oh,
they
tickets
free, or
the,
you guys wanted to give
show?
A couple to sell out, or what? You want
to
tell
the
people where they can get them at?
Actually, we have tickets because we're making money off the tickets as well. So we got a bunch of tickets that we're selling for ourselves and just trying to get our fan base out there. You know, it kind of controls it a little bit more to where we interact more with the fans, and then we get them to the fans, and then they actually show up. Especially
and how
on,
about his open house? Will that be tickets are open to the public, or what's the situation of the open house?
Open house is open to the public.
Good, good. Okay.
And then the show is on the 30th of October, right?
Yes, sir. That's the one at in Long Beach, and those are $20.
Okay. So what else is going on? Have they started cutting that video yet for Cracker Man?
I believe it was put on hold for a minute because they're doing a sizzle reel for the reality show that they're working on for Illusion Motorsports and Attica. So they put together a reel and compiled a bunch of different images, shots they did of the shop and the band and T-Rod doing his racing. And they're shopping it to Fox for Rusty's reality show. And it's looking pretty good so far. So we're hoping that this reality show gets picked up here pretty soon. But
cool.
I know that they're still working on it, getting it all perfected.
And then on episode 8 of Sons of Anarchy, I understand one of Attica's songs is going to be played. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, episode 8, it's going to be Tuesday, October 26th on the FX channel. One of our big songs, Greed and Power, is going to be featured on the show. It's supposed to be a scene where they're driving down the road and Attica music comes up on the radio and then they turn it up and jam to it. So we're excited for that one too. We've actually been posting it all over the place on Facebook. You know, you got all those guys from Sons of Anarchy, all the characters, they are on Facebook. And they all love
Facebook.
Yeah,
they are. Yeah, they are.
You know, when you and I met them up at the Big Bear Mountain Run, there were some stand-up people. There's no ego, no attitude. Everybody seemed real pleased to be up there. I thought that's a pretty good organization. I like the fact that they told me in the beginning only a couple of them were road motorcycles. It wasn't until the second season they all became addicted to it, and now they run everywhere. But nobody runs around with Sons of Anarchy patches or anything because they say, hey, we're actors. This is a TV show. Our choice of vehicles is motorcycles. I like the fact they're trying to get that out to the public to stop the confusion about are they a real biker club or something, you know?
Right.
Yeah, they're very adamant on letting people know that as well. But, yes, they do everywhere they go on their bikes now. So, and
yeah,
Rusty's
I understand from Charlie, he wrote me a little note saying that he'd rather ride the bike now than drive the car.
We were talking to Charlie up at Big Red. Did he say something about he was going to go, was it to Thailand or something for his Muay Thai belt or something? He wanted to.
I think he was going to be filming a movie over there.
No, he thinks he's going to go for some. He said he wants to get black belt.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you
want to
plug?
Nothing. We just want to let everyone get out to our show. Let everyone know about it on the 30th. We'd love for everybody to come down and support us. You know, we're a heavy metal band, you know, pure heavy metal, and we're playing with a bunch of bands that are very hardcore death metal. So we're entering a scene, and we're doing it on purpose, too, when they ask us to play. We're entering a scene where we haven't really played with these kind of bands before, and they're very big bands in that kind of metal scene. So we're going to see how their fans, you know, like our music. So we're taking a risk, but at the same time, you know, whether it's successful or not, it's still, you know, part of the business. You know, you got to take risk or you get nowhere in life. But everyone seems to love the music regardless of what kind of genre they're into. You know, we've even had people that love hip-hop that have actually watched the set, and they're just impressed by how, you know, Rusty and the band moves along.
You know, if this reality show become successful, you know, I'm available. I could play like Rusty's grandfather or something if you need me.
I'll put the word in for you. For Rusty.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Thank you for calling tonight, brother.
Just do me a favor and send me, email me a flyer, please.
Okay, I will do that, sir.
If you get a flyer, I can post that at my motorcycle shop. Can any set some cycles? Yeah, let our guys know about that.
Yeah, we can let everybody know about it.
Good thinking.
And if you do it before Friday, I can put one up at the clubhouse on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
I have all those guys asking, so if I can get that flyer, I'll drop it. We drop it off down there, too. Yeah, we'll press the information all we can, buddy.
All right, thanks, man.
Absolutely. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
What a cool job. He runs around with bands, you know? Hey, I want to talk about something. I went to work today. Do you know that I now have a Facebook?
Yes.
I have told you people that if you need to reach me, please reach me through Screwdriver because I just value my privacy an awful lot. I just the way I am. Well, my nephew, Kyle, runs the counter at Kennedy's Custom Cycles, and he thought he should just open a Facebook up under, what am I, Kennedy, Bill, Kennedy, what am I, what's my Facebook? You know?
I think he put it under the shop name.
Kennedy's Custom Cycles. Well, my very first day, I don't think I can begin to count them. I have no idea. I want to mention that two people called me today that I made a note of. Kimmy from New York. Hey, thanks very much for calling me, you know, give me the Facebook information. And Betsy from Massachusetts. Both of you guys, thank you very much. Betsy, my nephew Kyle has got a grandmother in Melrose, Massachusetts. I know you're not close by, but I want you to know we got spies watching you, buddy. So Kimmy and Betsy, thank you. The rest of the people, the list was so phenomenal, I couldn't possibly answer everybody, and I'm not going to. But anybody that gives us a question, I'm going to try to answer everything I can. That's got to be respectful to our friends.
Depending on what it is, they can send it like they've been doing to me, and I'll get the questions answered for them. But I want to go back to the five questions here.
Are you on that still?
Yeah.
I took a short nap. I thought you were done.
No.
Go ahead. This is interesting.
Okay. Do I have to answer the questions posed to me at a roadblock? What do you think, Bill?
Do I have to answer the questions? Which question are you referring to now? You're talking about
You
have to identify yourself if they request your identification.
You don't have to give me a driver's license. All you got to do is tell them your name and birthday.
And they can run it.
They can run it.
That's what I'm saying. You have to identify yourself. That's the only thing in a roadblock they can request. If it is a roadblock specifically designed for vehicle inspections, they can ask for your driver's license insurance. Registration.
Right.
If it's designated inspection for safety, they can ask you that, sir. So the roadblocks have different limitations.
You do not have to answer any questions, particularly questions that would be self-incriminating. You may be required by force of threat of arrest to show your driver's license, vehicle registration, and proof of insurance. If the state requires these items be present in your vehicle. However, you cannot be compelled to explain your travel plans, A, point A to point B.
Where are you leaving from? My house. Where are you going to? My house. That's it. I don't say it's none of your business. I just state, I'm coming from my house. Where are you going? I'm going back to my house.
Right.
And answer the question.
Beyond that, decline to answer any questions that you are asked. In
That's
response
right.
to a potentially invasive question, you could say something like, "Officer, I know you have your job to do, but I do not approve of roadblocks, and I do not wish to have a conversation. I realize I can be required to show you my driver's license. Would you like to see my driver's license? End of discussion. Can they search my car? Number three. Your car can only be searched under the following circumstances. You voluntarily give up their right to let them search your vehicle.
Just say no.
Or they have a warrant to search your vehicle. Or they tell you they have probable cause or reasonable suspicion based on reasonable explanation why they believe you have illegal items in your vehicle. They must be able to explain to you what they think they will find and what they think said items are in your vehicle. If the police use authority or force to search a vehicle against your will and you do not have a warrant or reasonable suspicion to conduct a search, they can be and should be held criminally and civilly liable for conducting an illegal search. This holds true even if the search reveals the possession of illegal items.
I need to stop there for a second. I'm going to ask you to stop. I apologize here. Why do you want to search my truck? What are you looking for? We're looking for guns. Say something.
Mm-hmm.
They open the trunk up and they find narcotics. They're going to take the narcotics in. But isn't that now the sign illegal cease and searcher because they're looking for guns?
Right.
I'm not suggesting you guys carry guns or drugs. I want to state what this is. You're asking what they're looking for. If they look for apples and you have oranges and the oranges are illegal, they're going to take them from you, but they can't charge you with that, I do not believe.
No.
Maybe let a lawyer deal with that one. A little gray area.
Yeah. And it's the next, you know, the next one would be, how long can they keep you at a roadblock? How long do you think it is, Bill?
Let me think about this one. 20 minutes?
15 to 20 minutes before the maximum amount of time a motorist can be detained by the police before the police take formal action against the motorist or to allow the motorist to leave.
The old days,
also,
that was a lot more than 20 minutes.
Yeah, and also...
I didn't know any better.
No, and also if the motorist or the bike rider or whoever it is, does not specifically request to leave, the police can successfully claim the motorist voluntarily remained under their control.
You have to ask them, am I done? Am I free to leave now? You have to ask that question.
Right, because if they say no, you are within your rights to ask for a legitimate explanation for your delay.
State the reason.
If no legitimate explanation is forthcoming, you should persist in asking if you may leave. There should be no confusion regarding your intentions and the fact that you are not willingly remaining within control of the police officers.
Again, I want to emphasize why we're doing this. We don't want you to be afraid of the police in your area. The more knowledge you have, the more less fear you have of the police, the less intimidation you have by the police.
Right.
The easier the confrontation between you and the police will be if you know your rights. We're not saying that we're against this or we're for that. We're just trying to say the police already know their rights. They know your rights. Now it's time for you to know your rights.
Absolutely, because... Can I turn, you know, the next question, Bill, is can I turn around or turn off to avoid a roadblock? In theory, you are allowed to make a legal maneuver, even a U-turn to avoid a roadblock. But, as we know, they go where they have the median, you can't drive
over
because of the trees.
So I mean, that's a very gray area because every time you see it, by the time you cannot turn off ahead.
No. And in reality, the police operating roadblocks deliberately locate them so it's almost impossible to legally avoid them once you become aware of their presence. It is common practice to hold a patrol car in reserve for the specific purpose of harassing motorists who overtly avoid a roadblock.
Yeah.
So the National Motorist Association, NMA, opposes the use of roadblocks, period. The only justification for stopping citizens under a roadblock scenario is to warn them of unseen peril that could cause injury or death to an unsuspecting motorist.
An accident ahead.
Accident ahead.
Rock slide, something like the bridges out, whatever. But we are doing now, this is what I'm not concerned about, but a lot of people are concerned, these safety checks.
Right.
Why are they pulling United States citizens over and just say, we're going to check your vehicle? This is a very gray area. Again, I'm sure you leave that to attorneys, but a lot of Americans are getting very tired of that.
Right.
My brother got pulled over a while back. I don't know if I told you that. He checked, he pulled in, they said, would you take your jacket off? I'd like to see what you have underneath. Everybody said, I declined to do that. And then he just said, but why would you ask? They said, my brother has a black leather jacket on. We know you bikers are wearing your colors underneath your jacket.
Yeah.
And my brother said, it's kind of ruining the whole image of having the colors on your back if you got it underneath.
Right.
They said, we'd like to take some pictures of your arms. He said, no, I don't do that. My brother rides a road king. And they said, well, we'd like to look in your saddlebags. And my brother said, I do not give you permission to do that. By giving them short, direct answers, their next statement was, have a nice day, sir, go ahead. He wasn't confrontational. He wasn't kissing anybody's ass. He was answering their questions short and to the point. They said, just go ahead. They realize he has a smidgen of education regarding what his rights are. You don't need to be an attorney. Screwdriver and I, two schmucks, we're not professional speakers. You'll catch us slipping up on a word like I just did there.
Right.
We'll slip up. So what? Bear with us. My brother is not a lawyer. He said the right questions, and they said, go ahead. That's all we're asking out of you listening to us. Learn your rights. Do not be afraid of the police. It's like, I can't swear at this. I think the police can sense the fear, they're professionally trained to do it, and then it's like sharks drawn into the water.
Right.
They're professionally trained to read your eyes, your body motion, et cetera, et cetera. Know your rights, keep it short and sweet, and just say no whenever you can.
Good.
I've got a nice incident. I changed motorcycles today, and I ran down my insurance company, and I just switched from one policy to the other. Their computers are down.
Right.
I've got no insurance on my bike. I'm just letting everybody know. I'm going to leave Oceanside. I'm going to drive to Vista, about 12 miles away. I have no insurance. Get off the road. I'll be going down Mission. I'll be turning south on South Santa Fe. Get off the road. I have no insurance. No, they said they'll take care of it tomorrow. A little story there. But I got no insurance.
Well, you know, we don't have any. Yeah, well, they're coming in and out. Being watched again.
I know.
Okay. Just so you know. We have a little gizmo here that tells us when...
we're being monitored.
We're being monitored. And we're being monitored. So maybe they enjoyed the beginning of the show.
I've listened to the show, and I personally think you and I are just not the best speakers. It's not the best professional show. We're a couple of amateurs just talking about rights. I think that... In fact, if they just tell us how much they spent every night listening to us, if they'd give us half the amount of money, we could shut the show down.
Mm-hmm.
And they would save half the amount of money.
Right.
Check that out now. If you tell us how much you spend every night, give Screwdriver and I half that amount, we'll go off the air.
Right.
They could save half that amount of money.
You know, just,
there you go.
I'll give you some of the amounts, Bill. Okay. The Ohio Franklin County Task Force gets a $183,000 grant.
People watch this stuff like us.
In federal traffic safety funding for 2011. These funds are critical to ensuring that we do everything possible to keep this county in Ohio free. Okay? The grant will provide the necessary funding to improve safety on Ohio's roadways by allowing safety partners to focus on priorities such as restrained use, seatbelts, impaired driving, DUIs, motorcycle safety, and youth driving. Then you go up here to another town in Ohio, Bill. What they received, how much, Bill?
$82K. $82K.
Safety.
$41K. We could shut the show down.
Right.
Listen to us. We'll shut the show down. I'm trying to help these people out.
Right. And it's for the same thing, Bill. It's going to be for motorcycle safety checkpoints.
Can I interject something there? What happened to Betsy? She was getting that money, or she was trying to make
Massachusetts,
not her per se,
no,
for safety. How'd that come about, you find?
Yeah, Massachusetts, they have to give out the refunds, Bill.
Yeah.
And I'll see if I can jack that up here for you real quick. But, the $11 million is getting sent back to the people who were charged. Let's see, right here. Yeah, the MMA update, AGO reaches agreement with four additional insurance carriers for Massachusetts motorcyclists.
Mm-hmm.
They, in addition to $11.1 million previously reported in early January, they have a total of $9 million in refunds starting to go out at the end of this month. This brings the total to seven carriers and will return over $20 million to Massachusetts motorcyclists only. Stemming from an investigation that began over a year ago in response to a complaint filed with the Insurance and Financial Services Division.
Mm-hmm.
So right here, holding just under $1 million in refunds, checks from Quincy averaged just over $300 and ranged as small as $2 to over $6,000 in refunds, Bill, for the insurance on your bike.
You know, last Sunday, I had a meeting, and I didn't bring you down into it. It's to help set a run-up for to stop domestic violence. I'm going to have another mini meeting and see if I can bring you in. I can dot the I's across the T's. I'll see if you and I get involved in having a motorcycle run to stop domestic violence here. I haven't got all the nuts and bolts yet, but I think domestic violence is a plight on the American family. I think it's breaking the American family up. I personally think it's sick. The idea of it makes me ill, that a man should work all day, come home, and have his wife beat him. There's something wrong with this, so we're going to try. I haven't heard anything yet about it, but it's going to be in domestic violence. It's going to be the end of this month. We'll talk about that some more. Why are you smiling? What did I say? You don't?
No, I didn't say nothing, Bill.
All right. Ted, it's right against domestic violence.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I'll let you know later about that.
So I think what we'll do is...
I'm serious about this. All right.
Go for it.
I just told you it's going to be there. We'll have another meeting. Go ahead. What's there?
I think what we're going to do is we'll close this out with Reading Power by Attica, and see you guys next week.
Let me all sing Happy Trails instead. Would you let me sing Happy Trails?
No, we're gonna play this song.
Your lips say no, 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 but
your
eyes say yes.
To tell you, I haven't heard.
Yes,
to tell you,
yes.
I haven't heard this one yet, but we'll listen to it together.
I can sing.
Good night, everybody.